Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, May the 19th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. 63 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Ohio. And this morning, we've been talking about the Big Mac. And this has been an historic week in regard to the Big Mac, because a gentleman in Wisconsin named Don Gorski holds the Guinness Book of World Records for most Big Macs eaten, a running total, that is now more than 32,000 Big Macs. But what happened this week? Well, this week, on May the 17th, just a couple days ago, Don celebrated eating a Big Mac every day, sometimes two, for a half century, 50 years since 1972. Isn't that amazing? We're going to turn our and it's become national attention or news, which is great. And we're going to turn now to Wisconsin. We're going to go to Wisconsin and talk to the man himself, Don Gorski. Don, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
What have you made of all the attention this week of your accomplishment?
Like I said, attention doesn't last too long, so it's usually a little bit hectic with calls and stuff for about a week, and then life can get back to normal again.
What's the most interesting call you've gotten this week?
It's probably Australia, because later today I'm supposed to do something for their Today Show or something like that, so it's always interesting when other countries call me and stuff.
Why do you think this is such of interest to people, even in other countries?
I think the thing is that it's so different, and it's something that nobody else will ever do. I mean, it's I would tell people I'm a normal guy, but there's just this habit I have that makes me really different from everybody else, and it hasn't killed me or anything, and it amazes people that I made it 50 years with the diet that I have.
Well, that's interesting, Don, because I think a lot of people have brought that up. What is your health at this point?
I'm very healthy, actually. I do a lot of walking. I go down by the shop and help my son get with his work. And like I say, I just keep busy all the time. I'm just under 200 pounds right now. I'm 6'1". And if you see me, I'm still a pretty strong guy yet for 68.
Now, eating the Big Macs, has it ever had any impact on blood pressure or cholesterol or anything like that?
No, not at all. My cholesterols are always very low. The highest cholesterol I ever had was 165. So I guess 200 is normal. So for some reason, my body is able to burn up everything that I eat real well.
Now, do you have anything with the Big Mac, or is it just the Big Mac?
Like I say, most of the time I just have it by itself, but like last night for the second one, we had asparagus that grows outside here, and I had some asparagus with my Big Mac, so I do eat other things with my other Big Mac, you know, a vegetable or something, so like I say, there's a little bit of variety, but not a real lot.
Now, do you ever have the French fries or the sodas with the Big Mac?
No, I don't have French fries very often. Like, it's maybe once a month at the most. What I do is I buy my Big Macs and I bring them home, and I like to eat them here in the kitchen and stuff. So, like I say, I usually drink a Coke with it, and I try my best to have like one regular Coke, and then I'll try to drink a Diet Coke just so I'm not drinking real Coke all the time.
Is there anything else on the McDonald's menu that you have liked, maybe second place to the Big Mac?
No, not at all. There's the other things I'm sure are good and stuff like that, but for me, I'm just happy eating my favorite food, and like I say, I don't see that changing, and so that's what I keep doing.
Yeah. Don, 1972 until now, What has been the price variation in the Big Mac?
Okay, like when I started in 1972, they were 49 cents. So, and there was no state tax or anything like that. So I say I could eat three Big Macs and have a Coke and a fry for less than $2, you know, every time I went there and stuff. And right now they're at $4.39 at local McDonald's. And so like I say, that's not really not, I guess, too unrealistic increase over 50 years.
Now, it's still worth it to you, though, to pay that amount for the Big Mac.
Yes, it is. Like I say, all of a sudden Big Macs got really expensive, it still is not going to change my eating habits and stuff, and I'll pay whatever I need to eat my Mac.
Want to go back to the start of this, May 17th, 1972. Tell us about that day. What happened?
Okay, what was special about that day was it's the day I got my first car. And for me, the first place I wanted to go was McDonald's, and that's what I did. I got my car, went to McDonald's, had three Big Macs and a fry and a Coke, and I kind of determined right there that this is what I'd like to do every day.
Now, had you ever been to a McDonald's prior to that date?
I don't think so, because, like I say, even as a kid, I remember going to, like, McDonald's and Green Bay and stuff when I was a kid, and my dad would buy us a hamburger or something. But when we moved to Fond du Lac here, that was when I was in like my early teens. McDonald's was more expensive than other drive-ins, so my dad would never go to McDonald's because the burgers are cheaper someplace else. So I really did never go to McDonald's until I got my car.
Now, why was McDonald's the place you wanted to go when you got your car?
I had the other double burgers in the past, like Big Boys were my first double burger. I liked those, and then I worked at a Dog and Suds for a while, and they had Texas Burgers, which was their double burgers, which they were pretty good too. And then other people have come out with double burgers and stuff. But in 1972, then when I went to McDonald's, I had my first Big Mac. I'm sitting there like, this is the one I wanted to eat every day. So I kind of knew I was headed toward a double burger life.
Now, what is it about the Big Mac? Why is it your obsession? Why is it the best burger for you?
Okay, like I say, my favorite food is hamburger, so that's the big thing. And what kind of hamburger was my favorite? It was definitely the Big Mac, because the only thing you can really make change on it really is the special sauce. And for me, the special sauce is what really tasted best to me out of all the double burgers I ever had. So lettuce always tasted the same, so it was cheese and everything else. It's just that I love that special sauce with my burgers better than any other sandwiches.
Now when you eat two Big Macs a day, one for lunch, one for dinner, now you do have some sides, as you've said. Do you keep food in the house, other things that you snack on or like?
Yeah, there's other things in the house I could snack on. Like we have some, we have chips and some bars and stuff like that. It's just I don't eat very much of that stuff ever. I mean, I might eat one every third day or something like that, but I really haven't eaten much any of that stuff lately.
Do you ever think, now maybe I would like fish sticks for dinner or something like that?
No, for some reason I don't think that way. It's just my brain, I guess, just loves the Big Mac so much, and I don't think about other foods really. It's like a case where when I get hungry, I like to have a Big Mac, so I go in the fridge, grab one, and microwave one. So, like I say, it's just, for some reason, I just don't crave other foods.
Now, it's interesting. You say the first day you went there, May 17th, 1972, you had three Big Macs. Normally, you have two a day. What is the number? How many Big Macs have you consumed in a 24-hour period? What's the biggest number?
In a 24-hour period, one time I did 12, and that was in 72. For a while there in 72, I just went through a stretch where I just couldn't get enough of them. I remember when I first went to McDonald's, I weighed 145 pounds, and I think, by the end of the summer, it was up to like 175, but I was starting to get bigger and stronger. So I really wasn't looking fat. I was just starting my growing, I guess. And so here's a, and like for some reason I had trouble sleeping and stuff that during that time. I'd only sleep like a couple hours a day, and then or I should say a night, and then the rest of the time I'd be working on stuff or going to my job, and I just kept so busy that I was burning up a lot of calories back in 72.
So when you ate those 12 Big Macs in one day, it was due to a stress period. Is the Big Mac a comfort to you in a way?
Oh, yes, very much so. I guess that's the best way to say it is that, you know, it's a comfort food for me. I remember we're, like in 72 and stuff, like when, like I say, it's a stress time or whatever, you know, you're a teenager and stuff, and, you know, you don't have really any, like for me, I was working on a job that I didn't care for. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have a girlfriend or anything like that. And I told myself, I promised myself I'd eat a Big Mac every day because for me that was the best part of my life at the time was eating Big Macs. And so all the things got better after that. But it was kind of like I can always look forward to eating my Big Mac every day.
Now, is it just to do with the taste or is it the box, the packaging? What is it about the Big Mac that gives you that comfort, that happiness?
It's just eating it. Like I say, I enjoy eating them so much. Even people, when they watch me eat one for the first time, they say I look like I'm eating one for the very first time. And I guess that's the best way to describe it. When you like something really a lot, it looks like you're really enjoying it. And that's what people say I look like when I'm eating them.
Now, back on May 17th, 2 days ago, the local McDonald's where you live is also where you ate the first Big Mac on May 17th, 1972. How was it celebrated?
Well, we had a get-together of, I have a lot of fans that were like people I worked with and I've gotten to know over the years, and I sent them all invites so that we could all get together and, you know, between McDonald's and everything, we were able to give free meals to everybody. And there was even one high school that sent a busload of kids over and stuff. And like I say, I was a prison guard for 25 years. And so a lot of the prison guards came because a lot of them, well, they always knew about my habit at work and stuff like that because there was a lot of the officers that when I got stuck for double shifts or something, they would make sure they got a Big Mac into the prison for me so I could keep my streak going and stuff. So there was a lot of people that were involved with keeping it going, and like I say, they're still friends and stuff. And so I made sure they all got invited so they could get a free meal and stuff. And it was just like a good time. So it was a lot of fun. And when I sent out the invites and stuff, I told them to try to keep the, you know, don't try to tell too many TV stations and stuff, you know, to come because it's, I don't get to visit with the people very much when there's too much TV coverage and stuff. And so it was really a nice, kind of like a family reunion type atmosphere rather than being hectic like it is at most other events.
Absolutely. Now the Guinness Book of World Records, how did that come about?
It took a long time. I had people that started telling me, like in 1980, that I should start writing Guinness and stuff. That how many Big Macs I'm eating because, they took care of world records and stuff. So I started writing Guinness in 1981, and then I kept writing them, and then I think it was finally in 1997 that they started to get interested in my record, and then they had. Some local people come to my house and stuff and just see all my evidence and stuff, and they were really impressed, and they sent that to Guinness. And then I think it was closer to like 2001 when Guinness first recognized my record and, you know, gave me a certificate and stuff. And then pretty much since then they've kept in, you know, track of me and stuff, and every once in a while they'll put a picture of me in their, you know, world record book and stuff. And like I say, it just took a while for them to recognize what I was doing, and what really impressed them is that, you know, I save the boxes, I save the receipts. I have all my calendars from 1972 when I started counting them and stuff, and all that stuff was impressive to them. And so I know this year they wanted to kind of make the 50th anniversary a kind of a special one for me, I guess. I guess I'm going to have a new kind of picture in the next book or something, so... And that's great, you know. Like I say, I appreciate what they've done and stuff like that. And You know, I guess that's all I got to say about that. You know?
Well, it's fascinating, Don, because what I'm thinking is on May 17th, 1972, as you said, you keep meticulous records, the boxes, the receipts, so on and so forth. Now, obviously, in 1972, you weren't thinking, I'm going to break records, I'm going to have a sandwich like this every day. Why did you keep all this stuff, the boxes and the receipts?
Okay, the thing is, it was kind of weird because, like, in 1972, we were still in the Vietnam War and stuff, and so in 1972, here I am, a shoe shiner, 18-year-old shoe shiner. I'm sitting there like, well, boy, I'm close to being drafted for Vietnam. And so when I got my first car, I told myself, I'm just going to see how many Big Macs I'm going to eat until I get, you know, drafted. And then I just lucked out because all of a sudden Richard Nixon says that, oh, we're not sending anybody else over. And it's like, wow, you know. And so I just stayed eating my Big Mac because I, you know, I felt like that was kind of like a present for not having to go to war, you know. So it kind of started out a little bit innocent in a way, but then it just continued because, like I say, I didn't go to Vietnam.
Now, Don, do you have the first receipt from May 17th, 1972?
No, because back then you weren't given the receipts. They wouldn't let you have them. Receipts actually started on October 20, 1994 at my McDonald's. So that's when I could...
You there, Don?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, like I say, I saved every receipt I've been given since 1994. It's just that before that, they wouldn't give them to you because they needed the receipts to figure out how much money they made each day at McDonald's.
Now, how then do we authenticate back to 1972 if we don't have the receipt?
Well, you know, I used to rely on my count calendars and stuff like that, and as many cartons as I still have left from that period. In 1990, our house got hit by a tornado, so then... we had a problem with all those cartons up in the attic. I found out that a lot of them that the mice had gotten into and stuff, and so I ended up having to throw away a lot of cartons and stuff. But yeah, I try my best always to have pictures and stuff to show what I had, you know, prior to 1990 and stuff like that. But I say some of it I did have to throw out because of weather.
Well, so. Now, how has the Big Mac carton changed since 1972?
Okay, it hasn't changed a super lot. In 1972, the Big Macs came in a red box. Initially, my first Big Macs, because they were so good, they had a ring around the Mac to hold it together, and then they were wrapped in foil, and then they were put in this red box. And so when you actually opened up the Big Mac sandwich, you could actually see steam come off the burger. And boy, I tell you, those babies were good. But it wasn't long after I started eating them that they quit doing the foil, but they kept doing the ring for a while, and the ring that only lasted another, you know, couple months or so, and then pretty soon they were just slapping the Big Macs into a box, the red box, because they were selling so fast. It was just took too much time for them to make them. So the box is pretty much what they used until they started using styrofoam. About 1976, I believe, when they started using styrofoam container, and they used that for almost 15 years until they found out that was hurting landfills and stuff like that. So, like I say, one time I probably, you know, I had over 10,000 styrofoam containers up in the attic. But once they determined that they were bad for the landfills, then they went to paper for a while. They wrapped them in the paper, which a lot of them are really hard. I couldn't save them because they just started to rot on me and stuff. But then after that, they went back to the box, and it's been pretty much boxes since then. But I can tell you that over the 50 years that my McDonald's, the one I went to, has had 54 carton changes.
54 over the years?
Right.
Is there one that sticks out in your mind as your favorite?
I'm always partial to the initial ones. I always like the first thing of something. Well, once they change it, I kind of dislike that. But the red boxes are so cool. And it was a great carton, I thought.
Mm. Now, have you ever had a bad Big Mac where maybe they didn't put enough sauce on it, or the burgers were overcooked, or something of that nature?
Yeah, I've had a few of them where when they slapped them on the buns, they must have had a lot of grease on them yet, and so the bun got soaked with quite a bit of grease and stuff. But it didn't matter to me. I still ate them and stuff like that. I don't waste food and stuff like that. But most of the time, the Big Macs are made. They're made good every day. You know, it's just very seldom you get a bad one.
Now, did you ever have a chance to meet Ray Kruk?
No, I didn't. I never had a chance to meet him. I know I had my brother lived in San Diego, and I had him try to find Mrs. Kruk's address, but he said he couldn't do it because she was such a private person, too. So, but it would have been nice to meet the Kruks, because, like you say, I think it would have been pretty cool, you know.
The creator of the Big Mac lived to be, I think, in his late 90s. Did you ever meet up with him?
No, but I got to talk to him on a three-way call with a radio station in Chicago. So it was great talking to him, and I was kidding him a little bit that I told him that I thought the Big Macs were bigger in the 80s when there was that "Where's the Beef" thing, and he said he didn't think so, but I think they were. But what was kind of interesting is that the inventor of the Big Mac, Jim Delligatti, he died on my 63rd birthday, which is really weird, ain't it?
That is very ironic that he would pass away on your birthday. Now, what did he have to say? Was he impressed with what you'd done?
Oh yeah, he was impressed, and he said I should I guess he was talking about they were building a museum, out by near Pittsburgh where he. Supposedly, made the first Big Mac and stuff like that, and he wanted me to go out there, which I eventually did, and so I really didn't get to meet him, but at least I got to see where, he had his, he calls it a museum, so I went out there and saw his museum, and when I was there, of course, it's a McDonald's, so I had a Big Mac there, and somebody recognized me, and they wanted the carton, that's one carton I don't have, is that carton from the Big Mac I ate there because they wanted it for the museum. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, when you have your Big Mac at lunch today, what number will that be?
Well, the next one will be 32,947.
32,947 Big Macs. Now, we never know when we're going to depart the Earth, but do you have a number that you want to get to before you leave this place?
I guess I really don't really think about it. Like, for me, when I started, I just thought, wow, if I made 25,000, that'd be great. I made that. I guess I kind of look toward the next 5,000 always as far as making it, but I guess in the long run, it'd be kind of cool to hit 40,000. If I can keep going at my current pace, that'll be in 10 years. So that's definitely reachable. I guess 40,000 would be a pretty amazing number to reach.
Now, Don, have you been in another restaurant in the last 50 years?
Yeah, I've been in other restaurants. My wife doesn't like McDonald's so much, and so every once in a while we have to go out to eat. And so we went to I think it's called a place, Avenue 7, 95 or anyhow, we had a perch dinner there. To celebrate her brother's birthdays and stuff like that. So yeah, I had perch. What was it? A couple Fridays ago, and a lot of times because I eat my Big Mac, I don't have room for a whole meal like that. So I end up bringing most of it home, and then I try to eat it up within the next 2 or 3 days. So I do go to other restaurants and stuff, but it's rare and. Sometimes people give me a hard time when they see me someplace else.
Now, does your wife partake in the Big Macs with you?
No, she doesn't. She's only had 11 in her whole life. But she's a great gal. She's a nurse practitioner, so it's kind of like living with a doctor. And so she knows, what I'm like and, what I do and stuff like that. So.
Now, you have a McDonald's collection. What type of things are in your collection?
Well, like I say, when my boys were little, they were eating Happy Meals all the time. So I've got thousands of, Happy Meal toys up in the attic. Also, I've got a lot of gifts from fans. I've just got hundreds and hundreds of gifts that I wish I had a museum to put them in. One guy gave me an old Ronald McDonald doll that he treasured and he wanted me to have it. And another lady gave me a straw dispenser from 1973 from McDonald's, and it's a big round thing that you rotate. She gave me that, and the gifts I get are just unbelievable. Somebody gave me a pair of Ronald McDonald shoes, and I'm always touched by the gifts. I mean, I'll save them forever. It's just that I wish I had a museum or some place to show all that stuff.
Now, do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia in this collection?
As far as when there's something that I treasure, it's really not even a McDonald's thing, but it's a McDonald's related thing, and it's my count calendar from 1972. I was a shoe shiner, so I had this dust pad behind me, and it had the dates on it, and I started writing my Big Mac count on that dust calendar. So I started on May 17, 1972. I wrote down the 9 Big Macs I ate that day, and I kept count from then on, and I still got that dust pad up in the attic, and it's just. Like I say, I take it all once in a while, just look at it and say, holy mackerel, you know, that's a shoe shiner back then, you know, and how things change, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Don, you had said earlier on that your health is in good shape, and we're glad to hear that, but does your doctor ever bring this up, this diet you have?
No, because I don't go to the doctor ever. I don't get sick. For some reason, God's blessed me with some really good health, and I just don't get sick. So it's working for me. And then besides that, having a nurse practitioner for my wife, it's like living with a doctor. So I feel really safe, with the way things are.
Now, as when it comes to the containers and the receipts and this collection, how do you have the room to store that all?
It's a little bit difficult. My attic is pretty much full from one end to the other. The Big Mac cartons, I couldn't get them up there no more, so I started running rows of boxes in the basement, and the boxes in the basement have all the cartons from 2006 on, so it takes up half a room down there just to stack and box all those cartons. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff, and I just don't have a lot of room for much more.
Now, when it comes to other famous sandwiches like the Whopper or the Baconator at Wendy's, have you ever tried these sandwiches?
No, not voluntarily. I had one Whopper in 1984 because the guy paid me $5 to eat one. But otherwise, I have no reason to want a Whopper. I just, I don't care for them. So, but I did have one, so I can say I had one. Baconator, never had one. You could go right down the list, and I can tell you I never had them. So I like my Big Macs, and that's plenty good for me.
Now, you have missed, it's my understanding, over this 50-year period, you have missed 8 days. Why? What were those 8 days about?
Okay, the first time I missed was January 4th, 1982, was because of a snowstorm, and McDonald's never opened. And so I didn't get a Big Mac that day, and that's when I started putting Big Macs in the freezer and other places so that in case of an emergency, like snow or something, that I'd still get my Big Mac. The second time I missed was a promise I made to my mom. It started out as a joke, and we ended up it being a promise that I wouldn't eat a Big Mac on the day she died. And so when that happened, I remembered that, and I said, well, I'm not going to eat a Big Mac today just because Mom told me I wouldn't forget the date if she... if I missed a Big Mac, and she's right, I'll never forget April 27, 1988, because I didn't have a Big Mac that day. And then I missed three times because of traveling. When I drive around the country and stuff like that, I couldn't believe it. I drive 600 miles and couldn't find a McDonald's. So there are 3 days I missed traveling, and then there's 2 days I missed because of work. Being a prison guard is like being in the military. So when they tell you you're staying to work more than you're supposed to, you have to stay. And so once I got past, I missed the day of eating a Big Mac two times. But other officers tried their best to get me a Big Mac when they could, but it wasn't always possible. There were two times, like I say, I went without a Big Mac because of work. And then the last time I missed was November 23rd, 2000. It was Thanksgiving Day, and I thought there was still some Macs in the fridge or the freezer, and there wasn't. And McDonald's is closed on Thanksgiving, and so I missed that day. although the manager at McDonald's said I should have called her because she said she would have opened up and made me one. But I'm not going to inconvenience anybody for a mistake I made. So that's still the last date I missed was November 23rd, 2000.
Now, Don, would you say that this is what happens when you don't eat a Big Mac? Is it a depressing day?
Yeah, it's well, the wife would say I get very hyper, and that's true. I get as I'm mad at myself for doing something that I messed up, you know. So I get real hyper for about a day, and then the next day when I have my Big Mac again, everything's good again. But it's just, it's just a stressful day for me because I feel like I screwed up, and I should have done something to have a Big Mac available.
Now, when we all depart this life someday, when you depart, is there anything in regard to the Big Mac that you would want as part of your service or maybe burial?
No, not really. Like I say, I told my boys, when you do the obituary, make sure you put my Big Mac count down so that people know how many they can eat before they, it kills them. And as far as, like I say, when I go, I'm going to probably be cremated. And the wife joked for a while there that she's going to put me in one of those styrofoam Big Mac containers and bury me in the backyard. But that was just a joke for a while. So she wouldn't do that, really. But, it's just that, like I say, family, my family's great. They really, put up with everything that I do. So that's great.
Now, would you ever want your ashes spread there at the local McDonald's?
No, that isn't necessary. Like I say, I don't think about stuff like that. Like I say, once you're gone, what does it matter?
When you look back at this 50 years, what does it mean to you?
Oh, for me, it's a great accomplishment for me. I guess one of the things that really strikes me once in a while is okay. Like if I go downstairs in the basement and I take the covers off of, the top row of boxes of Big Mac cartons that I have down there. I look at that, and I just look at that, and I said, look at all the time, just rows and rows of Big Mac cartons. And I figure, there's two a day that I eat, and all that there is, it's just time. All those boxes, two, every one of those is a day, and it just amazes me how time is.
Now, Don, would you, like you say, you get hyper and mad at yourself when you don't have a Big Mac. Would you call this an obsession? How would you qualify it?
Oh yeah, you can call it an obsession if you want. I like to say I'm not offended by what people make fun of me for the way I am. It doesn't bother me. Like I say, I worked in a prison for 25 years, so I've had inmates tell me where to put my Big Macs and stuff. So I'm not worried. But it's an obsession. A lot of people would call it obsessive compulsiveness or whatever, and that's fine. But I don't look at it that way because it wouldn't be if it's hurting you, then it's detrimental to your health or whatever. But my habit doesn't appear to be hurting me, so you call it some kind of disorder, really, because I think something should be hurting you before you call it a disorder.
Now, in all these years, everybody knows who you are now there locally and beyond, and as you say, the prisoners became aware of your habit here. What is the worst run-in you've ever had with somebody, and what is the funniest run-in you've ever had with somebody who knew you as the Big Mac Man?
The only things that come to mind, for instance, back in 1997, when I was on Oprah show, I got back to the prison the next day, and then the captains and lieutenants were saying the cell halls were just a rockin' because I was on TV, And that's the hardest thing, with my habit during that time period is that if anybody wanted me on a show or something, all the inmates saw it, and then I had to deal with them the next day, So I guess you could just say it would have to probably be deal with the prison, and I think it's the funniest stuff is how the inmates would just get so wild if I was on TV. The opposite is all the inmates constantly tell me where to stick my Big Macs, which you almost heard on a daily basis. But that's all part of working on that job.
Now, Don, I think people are curious, and of course we are on radio and there are words we can't use, but where were they telling you to put your Big Mac?
Well, in the butt. So,
oh, okay, but, yeah. Now, is it because they were angry or were they just having a good time?
I think some of them, it perturbed them that somebody like me was on TV because they see me every day and they say, well, he's just another guard, you know, so they don't look at you as being other than another guard. And so I think a lot of them that bothered them that I was on TV, and especially with, you know, a lady like Oprah and stuff. And so that's their problem, you know. But there are other inmates that, they just thought what I was doing was the greatest. I have some gifts. Yeah, I got enough gifts in the house from inmates that the warden let me have. Like, inmates made me a Big Mac staff, and some inmates drew some, did some chalk drawings of McDonald's and stuff for me, and the warden made sure I got all that stuff, and I was really touched that some of the inmates thought that my record was cool enough that they, you know, do a picture or make something out of wood for me like that. It's just pretty cool.
That is, it's very nice. Now, you talk about being on Oprah. Well, what did Oprah think of this?
I think she was a little bit amazed. I mean, at that time, I was only, I was getting close to 15,000 Big Macs, but I wasn't there yet. And so I think she was just amazed that somebody even ate, you know, 14,000 Big Macs. And so, of course, I haven't talked to her since, so it'd be interesting to hear what she thinks of that same guy that you saw way back in 97. He's up to 32,000 plus already.
Now, as far as the big national television shows, the late night shows, all the talk shows, what shows have you been on besides Oprah that we would recognize?
I was on Jimmy Kimmel in 2003. I was on the George Lopez show once. A lot of shows I turned down because I feel like they're going to make fun of me, and it's like, especially when I was working at the prison, I'd get made fun of all the time about my habits, so why would I want to go on a certain show like Jerry Springer or something like that just to be made fun of? So I really turned down a lot of shows that way, but when they were really nice about it and really wanted me on bad, then I would accept. And so I did some other shows like I've Got a Secret. That was a game show. They had me on. You know, them are all fun and stuff like that, but in a way, I probably wouldn't do them unless they were really excited about having me on.
So those experiences, George Lopez, Oprah, Jimmy Kimmel, were those all good experiences?
Oh, yeah. I always look at the good side of stuff. Like for me, it's meeting those people, you know. It's kind of like, I got to meet Oprah once, you know, and that's kind of like a cool memory and stuff. When I was on Jimmy Kimmel, I was on with, it was kind of funny, Mike Tyson, and good thing he didn't know that I was a prison guard at the time. That's probably good. And I was on with Tommy Lasorda, and it's great to meet him because he's gone now and stuff. It's neat to meet famous people, I guess, you know, just to say you saw them. But the thing is, I'm not going to go on a show just to meet a famous person if I don't feel I'm going to be comfortable on the show.
Now you say you turned down Jerry Springer. What were some of the other ones that you thought, this is not going to be good if I go on?
Okay, you have a second while I look that up?
Yeah, go right ahead. I'd be interested to hear that. We're talking with Don Gorski, who today will eat his 32,947th Big Mac. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, Jerry Springer was one. Rosie O'Donnell, I didn't go on that one. Steve Harvey, I didn't go on that one. Ellen DeGeneres, I didn't go on hers either. Sally Raphael, I didn't go on hers either. And then Amanda Lewis, I didn't go on hers either. I think that's about all I know.
Now, Rosie and Ellen seem like nice enough folk. What did you think would happen there?
Okay, I don't know. I felt like they would really make fun of me in, you know, a harsh way. And it's kind of like, I guess from working in the prison, you know, there's a lot of times where maybe they called on the wrong day. You know, maybe I had a rough day at work or something like that, and they might have called. And all I could think about is, oh, no, I don't want to go on a show and then have somebody, you know, making fun of me more yet. It's like I think I've had enough for one day or something, you know. So, like I say, most of those that I turned down, it's just that I just didn't feel like being abused for my habit, as I would say, you know.
Now, Sally and Jerry Springer, now those were not really comedy shows. Did you have a particular feeling as why you didn't want to do those shows? Those are kind of more like, well, I don't want to say they're like Oprah, but, you know, not comedy.
No, I just thought them shows are just too, I don't know, what you would say, out of control type shows. I don't know, it just seems like things wouldn't go real smooth and stuff, and like I say, I'm just one of these people that, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want it to go smooth, and I don't want to, you know, wreck up their show or something by being the way I am and stuff. And so, like I say, it's mostly trying to be comfortable.
Now, was there ever a show that you wanted to do, you were a fan of, that didn't call?
No, not really, I guess. I really didn't do a lot of watching TV because when I was working at the prison, we did a lot of 16-hour shifts, and so we didn't really get a lot of TV watching and stuff. And so I heard about shows, you know, from inmates and stuff mostly and stuff. And you know, they always said, well, you should go on Letterman and stuff like that. And,
well, yeah, Letterman would be the one I would think this would be tailor-made for.
Well, that could be, you know. It's just that I really, you know, never really watch Letterman because, like I say, most of the time by the time I got he's on, I'm sleeping already. So, like I say, I just didn't know a lot about the shows, I guess, because of spending so much, you know, time at work.
We've got 4 minutes left here with Don Gorski. Don celebrated 50 years of having one, sometimes two Big Macs per day earlier this week, May 17th. Started this May 17th, 1972. Today, the Big Mac count for Don will be 32,947 at lunchtime. Don, when we look back on all this, your picture's down there in the local McDonald's. What does that mean to you to have that there?
I think it's really, really cool, you know, like I say, McDonald's really doesn't do much for me, which is fine. I say, and then people say, well, why aren't they buying you your Big Macs and stuff? It's like, no, that's not what it's about. I mean, I've always been brought up to, you know, when you want something, you pay for it, you know, and I don't feel McDonald's or the owner of the McDonald's I go to owes me anything, you know, so the fact that the boss there at my McDonald's wanted a picture of me hanging in his McDonald's, I thought that was really cool, you know. So it's nice that he did that, and I really appreciate it. And like I say, a lot of people said they like it that they can go to McDonald's and they can they laugh and they say, "Yeah, I ate with you today because I ate by your picture at McDonald's," you know. So yeah, it was a great gift from Dave Rausch, the owner of my McDonald's.
You know, Don, we've talked throughout this interview about how it's kind of comforting to you to eat a Big Mac, and you get agitated when you don't have one. And have you ever thought, and some people refer to it as an obsession, have you ever thought about seeing an analyst or a psychiatrist about this to see if there is something behind it?
No, because for me, I am healthy, you know, and so, like I say, I have a tremendous memory, and like I say, I walk for miles, and I work like crazy, and I keep busy all the time. Like I said, my wife's a nurse practitioner. She says if she ever saw something that was abnormal, she would tell me to go to a doctor or a therapist or whatever. But the thing is, you can't call my thing, you know, a damaging obsession if it's not hurting my health mentally or physically. And it really isn't hurting my mental health because, like I say, if I miss a day, I'm only upset for that day. And I'm sure there's people that are upset almost every day of the week, but that's not me. I don't get upset very often because when you work at a prison as many years as I do, there's not much that bothers you anymore, let me tell you.
I can imagine. Don, how would you like to be remembered?
Just as the guy that ate the most Big Mac ever, and that I don't want anybody else to try to break it because I don't think anybody else could do it and actually be healthy. I was just lucky enough to be the person I was, and like I say, people would say, hey, you know, that was the guy that ate the most Big Macs ever. That's pretty cool. That's good enough for me.
Don Gorski of Wisconsin 50 years this week, May 17th, 1972, until May 17th, 2022, 50 years of having a Big Mac every day, only missing 8 days, sometimes two Big Macs. The Big Mac count as of today, May 19th, 2022, 32,947. Don, congratulations. It really is a great testament to stick-to-itiveness. And congratulations on 50 years, and thanks for talking with us.
No, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you, Don. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don Gorski, and his health is perfect. Figure that one out. Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.